Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Doing the Thing podcast. This is Philip Macca wishing you a happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving. And as always, I'm joined by my buddy, Jason Madden. What's happening, Jason?
Hey, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy to be here as always. You know, before we were just kind of commenting before we do these episodes, we actually burn a lot of time, not just really talking about the episode, but kind of catching up and BSing a little. I think that's like the highlight of my week, you know, just kind of catching up and doing that. And then we get to do this, which is awesome. Who gets to do this on their work day every day? This is amazing.
You know, I'm loving it. And speaking of work days and speaking of doing things that are amazing, you know, we've got the holidays coming up, right? We've got Thanksgiving just around the corner. And most of you listening are probably, if you're employed, you're probably wrapping up all the things you can. Half your mind is thinking about the turkey tomorrow and which football game you're going to watch and all those things. And that's a wonderful state of mind to be in. But today we want to talk about battered career syndrome. And I want to give you a couple gut checks to do over this holiday weekend. And if any of these gut checks are successful, then we're going to talk about some things to consider, some things to think about, and really some meaningful questions to ask yourself through December and as you approach New Year and resolutions and everything else. The biggest of which is, I want you to take a moment right now and jot it down, if you will. And if not, just get some clarity in your mind. How are you feeling going into this long weekend? Is it relieved, excitement, happy for the family? And I want you to take note of how you're feeling this coming Sunday night when it's time to get thinking about work again. And then I want you to take note of how you're feeling on Monday morning. And if the feeling you're having today isn't anywhere near the feeling you're having Sunday or Monday, then maybe it's time to dig deeper into battered career syndrome and what some of the symptoms look like.
Man, that's just so unfair. Tell me how you feel before then and now, because we're coming into like a nice long break. We're going to get to decompress. We get away from everybody for a little bit. Most of us aren't even going to look at our emails. Those of us that are probably shouldn't. And we're taking that nice break. And now if you're feeling like anxious to get back there, not to get back there, about getting back to work, you know, it's time to, like Phil said, really start digging deep and thinking about it. Are you on the path that's the best for you? Are you enjoying what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. More so in the U.S. culture than the other ones I've done business in, we tend to, as Americans, identify ourselves based on what we do for a living, right? Mm-hmm. You don't meet somebody first and say to them, hey, great to meet you. What hobbies do you have? Or what do you like to do when you're not working? We say, what do you do for a living, right? It's only natural. And because we as a society associate ourselves so much more closely with what we do instead of who we are, when things aren't going well from a work perspective, it reflects inwardly to us as people. It affects our self-perception. We suffer from imposter syndrome and many other things we're going to talk about now. And that's why it's important during the holidays, especially when you get a break from the action, to really decide, what do I want next year to look like? What do I actually want next year to look like? So that's why we wanted to cover this today. And so Jason, let's talk a little bit about what battered career syndrome is, and then some of the signs that will help people understand if they don't know already, if they may be experiencing it.
Great. And do you have a book definition of battered career syndrome, or should we just kind of describe it a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good call. Let's describe it a little bit.
Yeah, so I think it's something that you know, when your professional environment, you know, your leaders critique your character, or you find yourself in some type of cycle of abuse, or maybe even like almost a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing, where you're scared to kind of leave, right? Or, you know, like you feel like if you leave, your life is going to, you know, plummet, but you hate what you're doing. You know, that's a couple of examples of somebody that might be experiencing some battered career syndrome.
Yeah, perfectly said. So here are a few exercises. Well, let me say it differently. Here is an exercise, and there may be other exercises that you can do across the next 5, 6 weeks. The first one is, and I'm a big advocate of journaling, but a very specific type of journaling. So look, you work 40, 50, 60, whatever hours a week that you work, that's a large portion of your day. The other time is spent sleeping, and then you get a little bit of personal time in between. Keep a tick tock on the level of anxiety you feel throughout the work week. If you figure you work an 8-hour day, in those 8 hours, how many times does that anxiety feeling come up? Whether it be for a meeting coming up, a performance review, the goals you're supposed to hit versus where you're performing, upwards, downwards, merger acquisition talk, whatever things may be giving you anxiety, just recognize that anxiety as occurring during that hour and go through a week or two and just measure how many times you feel anxiety. It's a real awareness exercise.
That is a great idea because we feel this internally. We think about it subconsciously in the back of our minds all the time, and we probably verbalize it to our partners at home, but we're not really logging that in and seeing how much of it is actually eating up our headspace.
Dude, you know, I love what I do. I am now working on book six. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that in corporate America. But when I was in corporate America as a senior VP of music publishing, not disparaging the former organization I was with, but just to say that there were so many things that happened that I attributed to this is what it takes to be in a role like this. This is what you have to do to be successful in the world and in business. And all those anxiety moments and all the punitive stuff that would happen by way of that career, I just said, well, this is what my life is. This is what I have to put up with. And damn it, you don't. But the first step towards knowing that you don't is recognition of the issue if it does exist. So that's why I think that's a meaningful exercise.
I would agree. I would agree. And I can only imagine how often that came up when I was employed in the military. It probably occupied my headspace way more than I ever really thought. I would love to look back and see how often that would happen.
Yeah. And then, the second thing that I would encourage folks to think about is the hokey pokey effect. And what I mean by that is, remember the song, you put your right foot in, you put your left foot in, all that crap, and then you pull it back out? Well, that relates to the cycle of abuse people can experience in their careers. And it is that really, stressful situation, that demanding boss that's just overbearing and unappreciative, or whatever that might look like. It gets to a boiling point where you've had enough, and maybe you verbalize it, maybe you don't. And then all of a sudden, things get a little better. The right foot goes in, the right foot comes back out, and you go, okay, maybe things are changing. This is good, man. I'm happy again. Only to have it happen again. And the key to being in an abusive situation is the hope you have when it improves that it will continue to improve. Only to find out usually it doesn't.
Yeah, it's you're almost subject to the mood of the individual that's in charge, you know, the mood of your managers, your boss, or whoever. And it's kind of bipolar a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, if you're like me, I'm a hard-headed old fool, and I'm a high D on the disc chart, so when I decide to do something, by God, I'm going to do it. No matter what it takes, I'm going to do it until I just get flogged and beaten and get to a point of going, okay, now I'm just stupid, right? But I got to get to that point of stupidity. And many people are like that. It's what's called ride or die, where you go, I'm going to make this work whatever it takes. No matter how much damage I take as a person, no matter how crappy I feel all weekend, no matter how depressed I am on Monday morning or how stressed out I am Sunday night, I'm going to find a way to make this thing work.
Because you're not a quitter, right?
And I'm not a quitter.
For forget about dusting yourself off and trying something different. Let's do the definition of insanity and go do it all over again. Keep doing it.
Yeah. And then, you know, the final couple things is, you know, when you think about, when you take stock of the anxiety level, when you think about that cycle of abuse, when you think about how unhappy you are, maybe how de-energized you are on the weekend, just trying to recover to get back to work on Monday. When you think about those friends that should have their faces on milk cartons because you're not seeing them, you know, when you think about all those things together, there's also going to be a part of you that says, but what if I make a worse choice next time? Or what if I just move from here to here and it's the same scenario? At least I know, what is it, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't?
Right, right.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's also, you know, if you're making, maybe you're making good money. And maybe you move. If you move, you have that potential to lose money and lose some income. And that's a danger to a lot of people because we all have bills. We all have something going on. And, you know, maybe you bought that boat and, you know, you got some things to pay off. You know, it's reality. It's real life. And maybe losing a little bit of that money is just very fearful for you because your lifestyle might go down a little bit on the financial piece. But what if your lifestyle went down a little bit, but your mood improved, your happiness improved and everything else around that. And hey, you're spending more time with your wife and kids or whoever. And you're actually living life instead of living to work. You're working to live.
Can you imagine?
Can you only imagine?
You know, I think the biggest thing is this, though. Number one, it's recognition. So we talked about that a little bit, right? Keeping that journal, keeping track of those cycles and that anxiety feeling and all that. If and when you find, based on that journal, and I encourage you to do it between now and New Year's, because you know what happens in New Year's. We're going to wake up and write things down for us to be a different person than we are today, and then probably not follow through in February unless we commit ourselves to it, right? So really take stock of all those things. Don't worry about what comes next. Worry about if it's happening to you. If you're suffering from battered career syndrome, call it out for what it is, right? And the fear of I'm going to make less money, what if I make a mistake, the people I'm leaving behind, I can't quit, I'm a ride or die kind of person. If you turn that energy and those thoughts instead into, and we always ask clients we start work with, what do you want life to look like a year from now, personally and professionally, to be happy with your progress? Start there. Put that in writing. Give yourself that to work towards. And it's just like everything else. You buy a blue car and then all of a sudden the only cars on the road are blue cars. When you put something like that into writing, you begin to see things you likely wouldn't have seen before until you put that in writing and said, this is what I'm looking for in my life. You're going to start to notice ways to get closer to that. You're going to start to answer those other questions about, is there something else I could be doing? And what would that look like if I did? Does that make sense?
It does. It does make a lot of sense. And there's also that fear of, hey, if I'm going to do something else, maybe I don't have that experience. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't have the social capital for it or something like that. How do we work around that? You know, and I know we work around that through business ownership pretty well. We navigate that easily. But when it comes to a new employment environment, how do we navigate that?
Well, you know, I'll share a story with you. So I was married for 9.5 years and then the marriage dissolved and I was single for 11 or 12 years. And I kept going through the same situations and relationships for whatever reason. It was a pendulum swing from what I thought I wanted to finding out that wasn't right to someone as far away from the last person as I could get. But I never really centered in the right place until purposely I took 3 years off of dating completely. Wow. 3 years off, and all I did was work on myself. That's when I authored my first and second books. That's when I got into better physical shape. It's when I did a lot of things. And when you make progress towards yourself, then your circumstances change. Then the appeal of you as a candidate employee, business owner, whatever you may be, all that shifts and changes with it. So yeah, what do you do? How do you prepare yourself? I think you start working little things on yourself.
Yeah, opportunity tends to present itself when you're in alignment with yourself.
100%. So yeah, thank you all for joining us on this session. We thought it was an important time to raise this. And again, today being the day before Thanksgiving, take stock of how you're feeling. Take stock of how you're feeling Sunday night and Monday morning. Think about journaling for a little bit. Think about identifying what's going on in your life and how it affects you and how you feel about it. Then you can start working on the plans for what to do about it. And that is your New Year's resolution.
Yeah. And just also in like the spirit of Thanksgiving, you have the opportunity to be able to do this. So always practice some of that gratitude as well. Make sure that's included in some of that searching for what it is, whatever it is that you're searching for. Gratitude comes up more frequently than not. And the more gratitude you exercise, the more opportunity and the better your life tends to be. It's not even a science. It's just a proven thing. You know, hundreds of thousands of books have been written on this stuff, and it's true. You know, it's how you project yourself to the world, to the universe. It's that's how it's going to really affect how you think and how you're just getting yourself out there.
Could not have said it better, my friend. Excellent conversation. For those of you tuning in, if you think this episode would be helpful to someone else, you know, please do share it. Please do hit the like button. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, hope you do, because we talk about some cool stuff and we're cool dudes.
Absolutely, my friend. All right, everybody. Thank you again. See you next week.